morning, and welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, which has been blooms here in athletics and sports. Well, I am here in sunny Orlando at the NACSA convention, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking out, seeing people going back and forth to their different perspective meetings and whatnot. And you know what? It brings me joy. I just have to say this. And my 5 seconds I just said that, I have seen a total of like 10 women, 10 black women. I don't think you understand the significance of what I just said. And it's in the seconds of sitting here in the lobby of the NACSA convention at the Marriott, I have seen 10 black women pass me, and I have been in this business since 1990 as a professional. If I can go back 2 years before that, and I will say I was an intern, but yeah, 1990 was my first paycheck, and it was so few of us. Oh, my goodness. And my first NACSA convention was for CIDA, which is now under the umbrella of NACSA as it relates to conventions. And I could count on my hand, and I said a hand. I didn't say both hands. So this warms my heart. This really warms my heart. But I just want to say that we had a fantastic turnout. I'm still on cloud nine on our 9th annual listener appreciation reception at my timeshare at NACSA. It was just a wonderful, beautiful turnout. I want to say shout out to BD Merritt of the NCAA for sponsoring the reception for me. I really appreciate it. Not for me, excuse me, for us. Just great. And when I really, just to see the connections that happen afterwards and before that we began to exchange, you know, where people were from and things of that nature. And that's really important because even when you're networking and you don't know what areas of expertise people have, and then you're like, oh, I want to meet that person after these things. And I was watching the younger individuals here, some of the seasoned individuals, and I could see their eyes light up. Like, oh, I can make this. I can do this. And that's why I appreciate those who agree to be on the podcast, because it's not about you. It's about those who are listening to know that they can achieve what you have achieved. So I want to say thank you for those who came out Monday night, and just thank you so much. You have planted your seed in the garden, and I know it's going to flourish for sure, for sure. So just got a couple more announcements to make. Excited about Dr. Stephanie Copley. She's over mental health, sports psychology over at Temple. But guess what? She's also an author, people, okay? And so she has joined in with the garden to inform you of her book. And it's not, you know, I'm an avid reader. And I actually purchased the book, but I haven't gotten it in my hand yet. So I am going to read to you a book review on the book, okay, so that you'll see what this is all about. And we're pushing for Father's Day. So I'm going to say this. If you know a girl dad of a young girl that's like what, between 4, I think she said 10. So it's called Ty the Dreamer. It's a book that I would highly recommend for girls of all ages. It's a heartwarming story by a young girl who follows her dream. As a former educator, I can relate to what it means to believe oneself even when no one believes in you. Man, can we say amen to that and those athletic administration? Especially folks that don't even know what that is. That's my little side note. I had the distinct pleasure of reading the book for myself and shared many copies with young women from 24 years old of age to as young as 2 years old of age and received positive feedback. Side note on my side, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy a bulk of these because I believe in reading. If we can get the love of reading early on, maybe we can stop some of the social media comparison. Yeah. So, that's, again, my little side on the side. The author captures the essence of anything is possible if you just believe and follow your dreams. Ty, the dreamer, is the inspiration of so many. Can't wait till the next book is released. So that is a book release, I mean a book review, excuse me, on Ty the Dreamer by one of our very own, Dr. Stephanie Coakley. And so it is available on Amazon. So you can either put Ty, it's T-Y-E, the Dreamer, or you can put Stephanie Coakley's name down. And so glad that she finds value in the garden and wants to share this with everyone. And for me, it's just exciting to see entrepreneurship and another side and having another income stream. Because I preach this, and so she's a great example. And again, I'm really excited that she has value in here today to share it with you all. So please, and we're trying to push your Father's Day because, again, that becomes a bonding between a young girl and a dad. And my dad used to read to me. And this is the funny thing, okay? All right. Yeah, this is a real funny. So my dad used to tell me about the three bears and the three pigs. And I am from Virginia. I am from Sussex County, where I think the first peanut in the United States was planted or something like that. When I was in athletic high school, when you won the district, you won a peanut, okay? It was the shape of a peanut. We're called a peanut district. So think about land and trees. So as a little girl, my dad is telling me these stories, and we're passing the trees, and I thought the little pig and the three bears were friends of his. I had no idea it was a book. And when I got the book in my hand, because again, he began to tell me this in the car. So then I forgot. And then Walt Disney had a little book. Remember those golden books? And I said, they telling my daddy stories. So I really thought my daddy knew the three bears. Yes, I did. And my mama just died laughing about that. But that was our moment, y'all. You know what I mean? That was our moment. So if you want to help, cultivate that father-daughter moment, let's get this book. Let's go to Amazon and let's put it in our cart. So we will have it for Sunday, for Father's Day, okay? And here's another event to put on your calendar. It is, I'm really excited again to have people who find value in the garden. I'm excited about being a media partner for the Get in the Game Sports Career Conference. It's supposed to be held in October in Baltimore, and I'm excited about it because they actually asked me to submit some individuals to be speakers. So you know what I always do. I go to my clients first. I go to folks in the magazine and then my students. And so I'm excited about that. And I'm just excited about the development of it. That's what I'm tickled pink about, to see how that is going to hopefully grow something on the East Coast. I know they have this big thing in Atlanta, and I've never been able to get there because it's right around finals time and whatnot. But this is going to be an exciting time, and we get on board with that. And again, we'll be announcing speakers soon. But I believe it is October the 9th in Baltimore, Maryland. It is right before Women Leaders. So it's not at the exact same time. It's like that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Women Leaders is that Sunday. Okay. Now, again, speaking about my client, is talking about speaking. Alva Amaker is an education risk management consultant. She owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. We like to say policy to practice. The center has the following a training, first responder training. And I got to just put a pause here. One of my clients, who was sitting at the athletic director, called me. I think it was. It must have been Sunday. No, it was Monday morning. Monday morning. She was on her way out here. No, it must have been Sunday. It's probably Monday because she was on the way Sunday. And she said that her heart stopped while she was at the airport. People. My heart stopped when she was telling me this. And she's in the hospital. I can hear the beep, 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 and her husband's holding the phone in his hand. But she can just tell me that she can't make it for the reception. I said, girl, we are not talking about the reception. He just wants you to take care of yourself. And I just know all the pressure she was going through. And, you know, she hired me to help her talk some things through. But people, stress is serious. It really is. And, I mean, I feel pretty certain that the airport was able to assist her. But just to think, if this happened when she was in an athletic event, would the people have the instrument to revive her? Which reminds me about the Monday Night Football incident with the NFL. Do your people know the instruments to use? Or do you have the proper equipment or the latest equipment? You know, are you sending them to things such as this to find out what is the latest procedure? Those are the kind of things I'm concerned with. And this is what Alva Amaker is concerned with. And so she provides these trainings. She has a crew, a staff to do that. First she has an assessment, and then she has a way to educate your staff. And then speaking about staff, sport and event staff certification. Now, this is what I used to say to people in the yellow jackets, but of late, I've seen all types of jackets as it relates to having event staff, you know, for ticketing, for crowd control, all of that. But most of the time, you hire that out, and do those people know what is the plan of action if they're supposed to be, let's say, an active shooter, right? And you just can't say, well, that was the company that we hired. They have to know your plan, especially if you're in Helen University. All right? And then you got workspace safety and personnel training operations. This is what Alva Amaker does on the Vigilant Safety Training Center. So if this is something that you're interested in, here's a great time to do an assessment while we're in between academic years. So go to Vigilant, VigilantSCTC.com. That's Vigilant, VigilantSCTC.com. Now, I just came out the elevator from some individuals that work for the interview. And I just happened to ask her, I said, do you have a collegiate athletic administration background? And she said, yeah. She named the school she worked in. And her position at the NFL is, she said, roster management. And that was interesting. So she said it's roster management. Then she said it's just basic compliance, which I had no idea. You know, I'm thinking roster management is up on the team, then you're going to have too many people on the team. Well, maybe that does mean it's happening. But that was interesting to me. And, I mean, I just met like 30 minutes ago. But I will say we have connections with the NFL, and one of the individuals was Jachelle Mitchell. She's now at Jackson State in football operations. But at the time, she was over diversity, and she even helped with the celebration bowl. So I sent her this book that I'm about to tell you, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Win the Purse by Tawana Smith. She liked it so much that she bought the book for all of the football attendees, the two teams that were participating in the celebration bowl. Yes. So don't take my word for it. The NFL personnel bought it for potential college-age student-athletes who may go to the next level. And I'm saying you need to have this book on your shelf as a resource for you. Because I'm here to tell you, if your students are anything like mine, they trust you. And they can ask you about advice about something. You be like, huh, I never even thought about that. You know, I got kids asking me about their taxes. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad you asked them that, because I drill it down in them. Do you know an agent? No, how do I know an agent? But I'll try to find one. I'll put my feelers out. And so now my antenna is out for all those kind of educational pieces. And so with that, Surviving Life, the Professional Athlete Playbook, is about avoiding the curse. And the curse is getting money, then losing money. So one of the things that's really on my radar is all these student-athletes getting products or whatnot. And they still have to pay taxes on it. And so how are you going to pay for taxes or something you don't get cash for? I don't have the answer, but the professional share. And so this book enlightened me on those things. And when she wrote the book, there was no NIL. So the thing you need to be kind of cautious of is that even though our athletes are not professional, they're in a realm where they're receiving money, and there's some personnel people they need to have on their team. And it might not be Uncle Joe who has a dealership in town. You know, that might not be the right person. And I'm just going to say this. Not every tax preparer person knows all the different loopholes for everyone. And I have learned that the hard way. I have been using the same tax preparer for, I want to say, 20-some years. And so I just reached the conclusion that we just can't work together, because she does not have an understanding about entrepreneurship and how that works. So I'm going to have to change my tax preparer, who has a knowledge of what I do. So, again, Uncle Joe does taxes for his car dealership. He may not have an understanding about the taxes for a professional athlete. And we got XFL. We got all types of opportunities out here. And let me tell you, there's something, again, I'm not too sure, but something about where you play or where your team is and where you are, and paying taxes for different states, all of that. So the fact of the matter that I don't even know it, but I got an inkling of it, means you have an expert. So get this book, put it on your shelf or on your phone, because it's on Amazon, three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. Again, audio, paperback, and ebook. It's called Surviving the Light, A Professional Athlete Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. Speaking about NIL, as soon as I get off the phone, I'm going to an NIL session here in NACA. So the NIL Combine is in Chicago, July 27th, 28th, and 29th. The 27th is purely virtual, and student athletes can attend for free, virtually and in person. And so I'm looking forward to hosting a panel of our very own Garden members, Black Women in Athletic Administration. You know, I don't play. And so, but we're going to be talking about the NIL from a collegiate athletic administrative perspective. You know, what's the best practices and how they deal with it. And again, I'm going to go become educated, so my questions will be on point. And but I'm going to be in Chicago again July 20. I'm going to be there 26th to 27th. And so Oh, you can hear the background? Oh, no. Okay, so let me see if I can move over somewhere. You know what? I'm gonna move over because they are asking me questions. There was nobody in here when I came over here. I guess they're opening up, maybe because I'm close to the kitchen. But there was not a single soul over here when I started. But thank you for that. So let me just move on over, and then I gotta remember what we're talking about. I think I can do this. Yeah, nobody's over here. So, Chicago. So I'm going to Chicago the 27th and 28th. And the panel will be on the 28th. And on the panel will be Monique Carroll, the director of athletics for Chicago State. I also have Angie Toran, athletic director for the University of Chicago. And I'm working on getting the athletic director at Northwestern. And I also have Ayanna Quitty, who is the athletic director at Rose Coleman at Indiana. And so trying to have D2, D1, and D3 perspective on NIL from my own people. So now, if you were an adult, you're going to have to pay even for virtual, but I think it is going to be very beneficial because I went last year. It was virtual last year, and I learned a lot of things. And because of things, this area is so evolving, you need to be sure to get all the information. I'm very interested in this term selective. I'm really kind of confused with that because I'm not sure how to utilize that and still giving our student-athletes the autonomy and how does that work. So that's why I'm being educated, all right? So contact me if you're interested. I do have a link that will be just for Chapman Garden individuals, so you need to let me know, and I will forward it right on to you. And we've got one more commercial. Seawall Foundation is offering leading training for student-athletes with game, image, and likeness. On deck, this is really important training. And because I am have my foot in the AAU world, just slightly, just from a facility standpoint, I've seen and I watched on social media these AAU tournaments, and they do have some for studios. And these kids need to be prepared because actually how they carry themselves has a lot to do with the recruiting process. And so she has seen a need because she is in the professional media part. She owns Seawall Sports Entertainment. And anything D.C., D.C. professional, she is there. And if you want to know anything about the Washington Commanders, then I've learned things since the Kentucky Beherders didn't even know that was happening. So she's branching out, again, preparing our players for lights, camera, action, so you don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. So for more information, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org. And lastly, saying go out and go purchase your fifth issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. It can be found in our store. We have a store. Yes, we do. It's called CSEEDS of Empowerment Store.com. There you will find all five issues. You can visit the PDF version of the issues. The sixth issue now is in production, and very soon I will be accepting contributors for the seventh version. And so we're just growing. Each time I do this, I go like, oh, well, you know, I probably won't have enough people to do it next magazine. Oh, my goodness. And it's such a joy. So those people in the magazine are sharing the expertise. They're sharing what is something that you solve at the institution. What's the expertise in something? Something's, oh, everybody asks me, how do you do this? And so many individuals, we talked about it in the reception on Monday, those to be honored, those who were in the fourth and fifth issue. And they said that one young lady said her process of being in the magazine and me giving her expert marketing session said it prepared her for her new job because she was able to concisely say what problem does she solve for athletics, not about what she's done. You know, not your resume and I've been here. More so, when I was at this institution, I created this. And I created that. And because it solved this problem. So I'm just saying this for a tidbit for those who are in the interviewing process. You need to research the institution that you're looking at and see, or even look at the strategic plan and see how you can assist them to go through all of that. And so therefore, that's how you need to address that. Yeah. You need to, instead of talking about all the great things that you have. And so now we come to the time to meet our guest of the day. Her name is Renee Gilbert Laurie. She serves as Senior Associate Athletic Director for Inclusive Excellence and Alumni Engagement. And she's the Senior Administrator at Virginia Tech University. Welcome to the garden, Renee.
Hi, thanks so much. Great to be here. And it's Raina.
So glad. Oh, it's Raina. Okay, excuse me. Nice to hear you. I just saw you, what was it, 2 days ago?
I know. It was great to see you at NACTA at the MOA Symposium.
Are you still here?
No, I'm not. I'm back at work, back in the office.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So sunny California touched all of us this week. Isn't that great? How was the weather for you?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was great because Orlando's my home, so I was able to have some family time, but then also connect with some great friends and colleagues at NACTA. So it was wonderful.
You know, they're kicking me out. I thought I found a place where nobody would bother me, but that's not working. Okay, because now they want to open up this restaurant. So I tell you what, as I try to find my new spot, tell everybody about your career path from college to now.
Oh, sure. So I was fortunate enough to receive a scholarship for gymnastics at Northern Illinois University. So I went all the way from Orlando to DeKalb, Illinois, and had a really good experience during my time at NIU. And then I went on to get my master's in sport and exercise psychology with a minor in counseling from Ball State. And I really was setting my sights on becoming a sports psychologist. That's kind of where I wanted to go. I had worked with sports psychologists during my time as a student athlete and really saw how much impact she had on my experience, but also really wanted to be able to work with the college age population because I felt like that was a group that I connected with. So after I graduated, I had a few internship opportunities and then was able to get my foot in the door at University of Central Florida back home in Orlando. And so was at UCF for a few months working in academics, working with the rowing team, so a great start into college athletics. And then I had the opportunity to go to Nova Southeastern University in Davie or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I worked there for a few years in academics and compliance, and also always kept that student athlete development, that life skills hat on as well. So I really got a lot of experience, got to wear a lot of hats, and was able to grow there at Nova Southeastern. And then in 2008, I accepted an opportunity at Virginia Tech. So I've been here since then and really been able to grow and had a chance to expand my my reach and to have several different opportunities that have allowed me to grow personally and professionally since I've been here at Virginia Tech.
Well, this podcast really is about career advancement, and so I'm going to like kind of slow down right there. How
mm-hmm.
did you get from your previous institution to Virginia Tech? Did you just apply? Did you know somebody? How did that occur?
Yes, it's in when they say it's who you know. That's really it. Really does ring true. I was fortunate enough to be able to get involved in some of the NCAA leadership programming, specifically on the student-athlete development side and being able to facilitate some of the regional and national student-athlete leadership conferences back in 2006, 2007, and 2008. And I had a chance to meet Eric Wood, who is amazing, and he was actually working at the ACC conference office. And when the Virginia Tech position became available, he recommended me to apply. So Eric and I met. We were facilitators at one of the student-athlete leadership conferences. And then, you know, he just said, hey, I think you should apply. So kind of knowing him through the NCAA and then through the ACC, and then I had a chance to come to Virginia Tech for my interview. And I really was not as confident as I probably would be now. I was thinking, how am I going to go from, you know, this small Division II institution to, you know, a large D1, you know, it wasn't Power 5 at the time, but Power 5 institution like Virginia Tech. But I really appreciate him, you know, having the confidence in me and my previous supervisors as well and supporting me in making that next step.
Well, guess what? I have an Eric Wood story.
Awesome. I'm sure everybody does.
Well, you know, he is a Division II former athlete.
Yes.
And so I was on Division II. I served on like several Division II championship membership, nominating, and I don't know which one of those. He was an NCAA intern, and he was assigned to one of those committees. And
okay.
I was so impressed with this young man. And that kind of says my age, but it's interesting that you had some concerns. I think that's really great. I'm glad you said that because you got people listening who don't think they can do something because they think of their experiences. But most all of it, it's just like I told someone the other day, I need you to apply for to be on a committee. If even if you have expertise on one sport, you don't need to know how to do the sport. All you need to know is know how to become an administrator of a sport. So you can put it in one sport, but if they don't have any openings, they can still look at you for that. So, and then later on, he became the chair of the Life Skills Committee. That's what it's called. And then our committee is the one that created student-athlete development term.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
and
it's
such
a small world.
And I'm extremely proud of him. Yes, it is. I tell people all the time, you just don't know. But that's really good. So, again, let's just kind of back up to help people. How did you get to become an NCAA facilitator?
Well, you just talked about, you know, recommending someone apply. I put my name in the hat, and I said I'd really like to take that opportunity to grow professionally. I didn't have a lot of facilitation experience at the time in large group settings. So I put my name in the hat, and I'll tell you how it comes full circle. When I was a student athlete, I was selected to attend the Student Athlete Leadership Development Conference. So I think my sophomore year, I was selected to attend. So to then be able to facilitate those student athletes that were in my shoes, you know, I was in their shoes. It was a really, really neat moment. But I went to my supervisor at the time and said, you know, there's an opportunity. Would you be open to me applying for this, a chance to be able to, you know, grow professionally? And, you know, and it's great to, you know, every institution wants to be able to say that they've got someone representing them, you know, at the mm-hmm. conference or national level. So I was able to facilitate a few regional conferences for D2, and then also then had experience and was able to facilitate the national conference. So the NCAA has so many great opportunities for student athletes to grow as leaders and for administrators to grow as well. So any chance I can take advantage of those, I do.
And that was interesting, because my question for you was, I saw you at NACA. Why is it important to attend a type of professional development, and what other type of organizations are you connected with? And so that it just came naturally in our conversation.
Yes.
So you'd like to share. So that's how you really began in that, and you got known. Committees are really important because people can get a chance to see your thought process. And, you know, truth be told, there's sometimes some conflict on these committees, and people are watching how you respond for people cutting you off or your thought process of solving conflict, you know, in a committee meeting. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think it's, you know, one of the things is the reason that you're selected to be on the committee is for your experience and for the value that you bring. And you want to be able mm-hmm. to be yourself. And that's something that I always try to be, you know, authentic. That's one of my core values. And so, but you have to understand, you know, these are folks that you are working with and want to be able to do so in a productive manner. But just like you said, people are mm-hmm. always watching. So you never know how, you know, someone might see you on a committee and how they could, you know, recommend you to be, you know, to have another opportunity to serve at another
mm-hmm.
time. Yeah. So, and back to your previous question, I mean, the reason I haven't been at NACTA for the last few years, but I really wanted to attend specifically the MOA Symposium, really just to be able to fill my cup. And that was one of the things to be able to do, just to be around colleagues and friends that I hadn't had a chance to see. You know, we've been separate for quite a few years for now, So being able to get together and just connect with folks and see how they're doing. And, you know, we've been following everybody on LinkedIn and social media and seeing how they've been doing, but to be able to connect with people in person was really great. So it was a great opportunity to fill my cup. Just personally, and then also professionally, just to be able to connect and, you know, meet some new people in the industry as well.
That's a good point. I mean, that really is. And I want to take a short break here in the chat and garden, but when I return, I want to talk a little bit about your DEI work, okay?
All right, sounds good.
Just in time for Father's Day, get your copy of Ty the Dreamer, the delightful story of a lovable, brilliant daddy's girl and her cuddly, adorable cat. Ty the Dreamer teaches kids to achieve ambitious dreams supported by loving fathers and strong communities. Available online at itascabooks.com. That's itascabooks.com. Buy yours today. Happy Father's Day from Ty the Dreamer.
Hey everyone, this is Yusuf Khan, CEO and founder of First & Pen, and I'm excited to invite you to the Get in the Game Sports Business Conference, where you'll have the opportunity to meet and hear from some of the best and brightest in the sports business industry and interact with some of the premier brands in sports. It all goes down October 6th through the 8th at the Sheraton Inner Harbor in Baltimore, Maryland. For event information, visit getinthegameconference.net or Get in the Game on Instagram and Twitter. So register now at getinthegameconference.net, and we'll see you there.
Hi, my name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, on the Chat in the Garden with Smith and Smith in Athletics and Sports. Well, I want to talk about your DEI work. I want to know how did you, you said you did some compliance and student athlete development. Tell me, how did you move into the DEI space?
All right. So, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago I had the opportunity to serve on our Department Diversity and Inclusion Council, and it was great to be able to be there to kind of add that student-athlete engagement perspective. And our former HR director at the time was leading was the chair of the council, and she went on to retire, and I kind of just stepped into the role and just really just kind of said, you know, I'm happy to chair this group and continue to move us forward. So it's been great. We have a group of administrators and coaches and student athletes on our Diversity and Inclusion Council here at Virginia Tech that is really committed to making sure that we are creating programming and spaces for everyone here that make sure that everyone feels included and valued. And so we've got a lot of work to do, but we're continuing to do the work in the right way. And then over the last few years, I've had a chance to serve on within the Atlantic Coast Conference. We started a group called CORE, the Committee on Racial Equality. And so myself and two of my other colleagues at Virginia Tech serve as our CORE reps within Virginia Tech. So that's great to be able to focus on DE&I at the conference level and support conference initiatives and also to support each other as we're doing this work.
That was going to be my second question. So I'm going to like kind of slow back down for a second. So when you were on the committee in the beginning, you had different areas of responsibility in the athletic department?
Yeah, so initially at that point in time, I was assistant athletic director for student life, and then we changed the name to student athlete development. So I was over our Office of Student Athlete Development working with our student athletes on career development, leadership, and personal development programming. Yeah, that was my main focus at that time.
So tell me the evolution to now so that people can see. Because, you know, they may want to position themselves to do something very similar, but again, but they know that how they can get there.
Sure. So I would say, you know, so at that time, as I mentioned, I was assistant AD for student athlete development. And then when our new, not that new anymore, but when Whit Babcock came on as our director of athletics, I had the opportunity to be promoted and move on up to associate AD and then senior associate AD. So I was really grateful to be able to have the opportunity to advance, and that allowed me to have more experiences, which included sport administration, also some campus liaison opportunities. I'm the liaison to student conduct within our athletics department. And then also in 2017, I was able to add the Senior Women Administrator SWA designation. So just continuing to, I'm the type of person, I just really try to kind of put my head down and work. And so I feel like that's definitely paid off. And so continuing to be able to have different opportunities. So I think it, about 2 years ago, just in talking to Whit and thinking about kind of where, what my goals were and where we were as a department, I went to him and said, you know, I'd like to work on officially adding diversity and inclusion to my title. So I've got that inclusive excellence in my title. And then he presented me with the opportunity to oversee our Monogram Club, which is our alumni group, so former student athlete group. So had the opportunity to kind of shift things a little bit, give some other folks some more responsibility who were very well deserving, and kind of take a little bit more on for the sport administration side. So I know that's a lot of things, but that's kind of the path that I've been on over the last few years and kind of how I got to where I am today.
I think that's extremely helpful because, as many people know, I'm a consultant for leadership within the athletic department. So depending upon where the need is, that's where I make my recommendation. So I can't say I'm necessarily diversity, but that's the area I can, you know, do an assessment and make my presentation in that manner. So one of the institutions, the Power Five institution, that I was brought in to do a staff retreat for the area of diversity. And so I did my homework before I did the staff retreat, and it was an alumnus, and it was a black former football player. And I really got an understanding if the diversity activities were effective. And I asked the question when I came to do the presentation, how are you engaging with your former athletes to see if your efforts are going well? For example, they thought they were so when I tell you they were gung-ho about all these international flags, up into the, and the alumni could tell it. They were like, this is not meeting our needs. It did not meet our needs, but like, because these people were alumni. So I think having you connected with alumni is key to your role as diversity, because you can really see traditionally or going, looking to the future, are your efforts really meeting the needs of what your directives are? So I think that's great.
Right. No, that's a really great point. We recently moved our alumni engagement area under the umbrella of student athlete development, kind of seeing the full picture. You know, we meet with student athletes when they come in for their recruiting trips, and then connect with them and provide resources during their 4 or 5 years here at school, but then to continue to stay connected with them after they graduate when they become alumni, I think is really important. So being able to add that diversity piece as well and I had a chance to a couple years ago create kind of a subset for alumni, a Black Athlete Alumni Network, where we could really focus on how we can support the needs of our student athletes. So I'd love, you know, one of my goals is to create more of those type of groups, really the affinity groups for our alumni, you know, whether it's our international student athletes or our women student athletes, and being able to kind of create spaces for them to connect, you know, in an identity that they feel, you know, strongly connected to outside of just being a student athlete.
And that is outstanding, because I don't know if you heard me say about the magazine and talking about expertise. See, that's the expertise that you already created somewhere, and then you even want to create more of that. And I can see other individuals reaching out to you to say, can you give me the template of how to do that? And so do you have like a quick three-hitter, like if somebody wanted to be able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's still a work in progress. There's always work to do, and it's a work in progress. But the first thing I did was reach out to a core group of our African-American alumni and just, you know, hold a focus group. What are the things that they would like to see? How can we support them, specifically as Black student athletes, as former student athletes? And then being able to, you know, one of the things that was mentioned was not just necessarily creating events for having the athletic department create events, but having opportunities to connect them with more students, with non-student athletes, or, you know, the people that when they were here, they didn't just spend time with student athletes, right? They had a lot of friends who weren't student athletes and may have been in different organizations. And so being able to provide information, which our campus already does a great job with their alumni engagement, and we already have a Black alumni group. So being able to connect our student athletes and give them more information. So some of the work was already done. I just wanted to make sure that I was getting their feedback and was on the same page, and wanted to make sure that I wasn't speaking for them. So I would just recommend, you know, just like we do with our students when we're trying to create programs, we've got an idea of what we want to do, but being able to get their buy-in and get their feedback is, I think, a really good place to start.
That is outstanding. I said if I was standing, I would do a cartwheel. You know what I mean? Like that. I mean, that's just needed. It's not like having a policy. It's like actually putting it in practice. And I'm excited about that.
Thank you.
Now, just briefly, tell me about your work with the ACC core group and what are your current initiatives and whatnot.
Right. Well, great segue. We actually have a couple years ago, we started, the ACC launched Unity Weeks, and so those are three times a year, one in the fall, spring, and winter during the ACC Championship Weeks, and so that's a great opportunity to be able to highlight what each of the institutions is doing at their school with regards to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. So we work with our core group to determine which schools are going to be spotlighted during those weeks. But then also we've got coming up in July an ACC Unity Tour to Washington, D.C. So last year we were able to partner with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 for their social justice trip to Selma and Montgomery, Alabama, and it was just an amazing experience for student athletes and staff and coaches. And so this year the ACC is launching one. So we'll be sending 10 groups from each of the ACC institutions, which will consist of student athletes and coaches and staff, and we'll be in D.C. July 9th through 12th and have an opportunity to be able to meet with legislators, to explore some of the cultural museums, to do a reenactment of the March on Washington. It's going to be an awesome experience. I'm really excited So shout out to Shelby McKay at the ACC who's taken the lead on this, and we've got a great group that's been working together to kind of put everything in place.
That is deep. Wow. When you just talking about reenactment, that is really just something else.
Right, and our student athletes, you know, that they weren't around when that happened, but they are so. We've got these great student leaders, and they, you know, I feel like I learned so much more from our students, and so I'm really excited for them to be able to see to see things through their eyes, I guess I would say.
I appreciate you sharing it for us to be able to see. And wait for these pictures and see the results, because I have a feeling that it's going to have an impact for it to be able. I say our student athletes are the man and the woman on campus, and that means they can be the man and the woman into the community. So hats off to you all for doing that.
No, I think it's going to be great, and it was an initiative that after last year's event, being able to see the impact and. Our commissioner, Jim Phillips, was on board, and then our athletic directors said, you know, they all said, yes, let's move forward with this. So it's really something that is a conference initiative, and I can't wait to see what's next.
Oh, my goodness. I can't wait to see what's next with you as well. And I'm in Virginia, so I'm going to be really paying really a close attention so that maybe it can trickle down to the other Virginia schools. So thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, and thank you to my eyes and ears, my engineer, Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions. Join us Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook at Chatting the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.